shoulder of an exploration to the farthest reaches of the Antarctic. An Englishman who hadn't wanted to slow down his companions with his frostbitten feet had walked out of their tent, saying that he was going outside, and he might be some time. Christy had always remembered that. Her fingers shook as she buttoned her coat. She hardly had enough strength to pull on her boots. She noticed that the skin around her nails had gone almost black. Last time she looked at her feet, the toes had been in even worse shape. She doubled over the bed, her eyes weeping, but pain tearing at her chest. The one small window in the cabin was coated so thickly with ice that it was impossible to see out. She wondered what had happened to Ryan. There had been a strange vision of him walking through a plaza in a small frontierville, past heaps of decayed corpses. She'd glimpsed movement among the bodies, but then lost her hold on the seeing. She straightened, taking a few faltering steps to the door of the hut, laying a hand on the ice-cold metal of the latch.
I'm going outside. And I might not be coming back.
Doc found himself sitting in front of a roaring log fire, his hands cupping a tankard of mulled claret, spiced with cloves and honey. It was late Christmas Eve. The house was still and quiet. The toasting heat of the parlor contrasted with the bitter frost and driving snow outside the shuttered windows. Emily had gone up the stairs a few minutes ago, after kissing him on the cheek and whispering her affection into his ear, blushingly promising a special early Christmas present once he joined her in their cozy bedroom, where the copper warming pans were already in place. The children were fast asleep, two small angels in their beds, curly heads on the goose feather pillows. Julian was still too young to appreciate the magic of the season, but Rachel had been becoming more and more excited over the past few nights, her little face alight with the thrill of Santa's visit. Doc had sat them both on his lap and whispered to them of the jolly old white-bearded gentleman with the red suit who would bring gifts to all good children, telling his children that they might just possibly catch the sound of his sleigh bells and the clicking of his reindeer's hooves on their shingled roof. He drained the glass and stood. The two boxes filled with brightly wrapped presents stood waiting in the large closet on the landing, ready to be put in place, one at the foot of each bed. Doc caught a glimpse of himself in the gilt-framed oval mirror above the hearth and smiled at his image, revealing his perfect teeth.
By the three Kennedys, but it's time to close up shop, then up to pleasure dearest Emily. Who are the Kennedys?
The maid would see to safely damping the fire. He started climbing the stairs, and then paused a moment on the half-landing, peering out at the blizzard. The snow still beat against the house like the silent wings of tiny birds, carried on the breath of a cold blue norther that had been raging now for 6 days. Doc carried on, reaching the dark at the top of the stairs, deciding to look in on his darling cherubs before bringing in the presents. He tiptoed along over the delicate Persian runner until he stood outside the bedroom door. He hesitated a moment, his head to one side. He could have sworn that he'd heard something high up near the gable end of the roof.
I think that my imagination is getting the better of me.
He put out his hand, turned the chased brass knob, and walked into his children's room.
Oh, my word.
Despite the glowing embers of a fire in the grate, the chamber was absolutely freezing. The curtains were drawn, and a small oil lamp gave a gentle glow to the room. Doc put his hand to his chest, his breath frosting out in front of his face. The children lay sleeping in their beds, but they weren't alone in the room. A bulky figure stood between the beds, his back turned to Doc. All he could make out was that it was a man, and the man was wearing a scarlet jacket and pants, and a cap in the same color.
I beg your pardon, but might I ask who you are and what precisely your business is?
The man began to turn very slowly.
I'm Santa from the wintry north. Ho, ho, ho! And I've come to collect your good, good children, Dr. Tanner.
Face me, damn your impudence. I'll give you a good thrashing for your...
The figure turned fully around, now visible in the mellow light of the oil lamp. It was like the devil's walking parody of Father Christmas. The man was red-suited, with a thick white beard, but Doc saw that the beard was made from crystals of ice, matted together in an obscene simulacrum of the original. The eyes were empty ivory sockets, filled with blue-tinted chips of ice, that sparkled with an evil and unnatural life that sent a chill to Doc's heart.
Suffer, little children! Ho, ho, ho! Oh, yes, little children will suffer, Dr. Tanner.
Doc saw that the teeth were needle-tipped ice, as clear as glass. One hand reached out over each bed, the finger bones tipped with daggers of razored ice, slicing down toward the pitifully exposed throats of Rachel and Julian. Doc couldn't move.
Fire blast!
Ryan backed away, the twisted, dried-out corpses remorselessly following him into a corner. He aimed his revolver. The weapon released a trickle of powdery snow over Ryan's feet.
Near the door.
But we all shared the same kind of dreadful nightmare with cold at its heart.
The voices were familiar, but they were coming from an infinite distance away. It had been someone that Ryan had known many years ago. Someone that he thought he still knew. And the second speaker was...
Mildred.
Lie still, Ryan. It's not time to try to move around too much. Not yet.
Sure thing, Mildred.
The last thing Ryan wanted to do was move. All he could tell was that he was lying on his back.
Missing.
What is?
My blaster, Jack.
John Barrymore removed it for safety. Yours as well as ours, dear friend. He was the first to recover from this dreadful jump, and he found you lying by the partly open door with your pistol in your hand.
Why?
You were waving the Sig Sauer around like you were surrounded by enemies. But you were trying to cock it with your thumb like it was some big old revolver.
It was. A Lama Comanche.
Dark night. Must be 20 years since you carried that as your sidearm.
Were you caught in some kind of fantasy that involved being cold, lover?
Ryan finally risked opening his eye and waited patiently for it to recover some kind of focus. He saw that he was stretched out on the floor of a gateway chamber, lying on one of those circular metal discs. The armaglass walls were a beautiful shade of clear cerulean blue, like a summer sky in southern Utah. The others were all standing around him. The first thing that caught Ryan's eye was Christie's fiery red hair, then the flare of magnesium white next to it that was Jack Lauren's head.
Cold? Well, yeah. It was a bastard nightmare. Living corpses that... Why?
We all did. Real horror show stuff, Dad.
But we all made it through the jump.
Doc was leaning against one of the chamber's walls, his gnarled fingers gripping the silver lion's head hilt of his sword stick.
The mental process was peculiarly unpleasant, possibly because of the partly open doorway. But that was then.
And this is now. Someone give me a hand so I can get up.
Christie and Jack stooped, helping Ryan to a more comfortable position, sitting with his back against one of the sky-blue walls.
Thanks. Thought for a moment there I was going to throw up my last meal. Whatever that was. Whenever that was.
In another country. And besides, the wench is dead.
Ryan didn't feel like unraveling one of Doc's runic sayings right then, so he let it pass.
Anyone done a wreck at all?
Not yet. Haven't even moved the door. Didn't want to open it or close it until you got back with us. Couldn't tell what might happen.
Safer, anyway.
Ryan looked across the chamber, seeing that the heavy door still stood a few inches open. It had been a close call, and a lesson for any future jumps that they might make. If the gateway door had been left open just a little bit wider, Ryan suspected that none of them would have survived the jump. Fighting to overcome a tsunami of nausea and vertigo, He heaved himself upright, closing his eye for a moment.